This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young, and we've been following the aftermath of the Las Vegas massacre. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump held a moment of silence in the last hour, lowering the White House flag to half-staff to acknowledge the mass shooting in Las Vegas. At least 58 people dead, 515 injured after the gunman, 64-year-old Stephen Paddock, shot multiple rounds into a crowd at an outdoor country concert, the worst mass shooting in recent U.S. history. Casey Morell of member station KNPR is in Las Vegas. And Casey, I just want to listen to a little sound. Over the course of the day, we've been hearing from different people, including recently the suspect's brother, Eric Paddock, who lives in Orlando, Florida. He's completely shocked. He said it's like Mars fell on his family, shocked that his brother might have done this and had so many weapons. Here's a little of Eric Paddock on CNN.
He was a wealthy guy, and he liked to play video poker. He went on cruises. He sent his mother cookies from, big, huge, crazy boxes of cookies.
Casey, Eric Paddock also acknowledged that the Paddock father, Benjamin Paddock, was a bank robber. He was on the FBI's most wanted list, but they said they weren't, weren't proud of that. They didn't know him. But how are people there in Las Vegas reacting to finding out about the shooter?
Well, Robin, I think that it's all just part of the sense of numbness and shock that I think a lot of people here in Southern Nevada are feeling. One of the interesting things in our own coverage here on KNPR, we took calls from listeners earlier this morning to talk about what their reactions were, and a woman who identified herself as a Muslim said that she was glad that the gunman was a white person and not a Muslim of color, because she feared the backlash against her and her children if the gunman had to happen to have been a person of color.
Well, and in fact, the brother said the gunman had, to the brother's knowledge, no political or religious affiliation. So there's that.
Yeah, although we're also hearing, or at least we were hearing earlier today, a claim of responsibility from ISIS, which hasn't been confirmed. And the FBI says there's no connection to international terrorism. But what more do we know about his motivations?
That's a good question, Jeremy. The police have ransacked his house in Mesquite, where he lived. Mesquite, about 90 minutes to the northeast of Las Vegas. They executed a search warrant there earlier this morning, found more weapons and more ammunition. There might have been things there that they found that help us understand why this happened. But if that's the case, the police haven't really been sharing that as of yet. Mm-hmm. I think they might be waiting for the full investigations to take place before they try to render any judgment as to why he did this.
Yeah. Casey, what's the latest there where you are? There were phone numbers earlier today to call if you were missing a family member, phone numbers to call if you have video from last night. So are the people who've, died, are they been identified? What's going on?
Some of the people who were killed have been identified. Some of the victims who were shot otherwise have been identified as well. Amongst some of those who were taken to hospitals, a series of off-duty police officers from California who were in town for the concert. Los Angeles Police Department, San Diego Police Department, Bakersfield Police Department telling us and telling KQED earlier today that they had victims in their ranks. Of people who were there. Canadian media have reported that a couple of Canadians were amongst the dead. I've seen chatter from media in Iceland that there were Icelandic tourists who were caught up in this as well. So it seems as though the pool of victims really reflects the fact that Las Vegas is a very international city.
I'm sure that people there who were there or people who live there in Las Vegas are still in a kind of a state of shock right now. I must say, we're all a bit in a state of shock when you look at 58 people dead in this shooting, at least, and 500 plus injured. We've got NPR's Tom Gelton with us. And Tom, I was looking at the other big mass shootings in recent U.S. history, and You know, 49 killed in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub, and in Virginia Tech, that was 32 people killed in that one. And of course, what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, 20 children and 6 adults at Sandy Hook Elementary School. This is more dead than all of those.
That's right, Jeremy. Just a few more dead than were killed in Orlando at the Pulse shooting. But still, it certainly stands out. I mean, we've been very careful to on NPR to say it's the biggest mass shooting in recent, in modern U.S. history, because there sadly were a number of cases in the past when there were much bigger massacres that have taken place. But certainly in, the last 50 years, this really stands out.
Well, and what do we know about it? What do we know about the guns that were said to be found in the hotel room where, you know, officials burst in, lawmakers burst in, and Paddock had already killed himself? Did he legally own them? His brother, again, we're hearing from his brother things about Stephen Paddock, that he had airplanes and he had a hunting license from Alaska. But do we know if he legally owned the guns?
We haven't heard that information yet. We did hear from, as you say, from his brother, Eric Paddock. He didn't know that he had anything like this collection of long rifles. He said he knew he had a couple of handguns. That's all he knew. Of course, who knows whether Eric Paddock, living in Orlando, Florida, you know, is up to date with what his brother in California has, but Nevada has. But still, that was apparently a surprise to him. We do know, of course, from what the police, the law enforcement authorities have said, that when they broke into that hotel room in Las Vegas, they found more than 10 long rifles there. So he came up with them somewhere. You know, we've also heard from law enforcement authorities that they had had no contact with him prior to this, no recent arrest record, nothing to sort of put him on their radar. So we don't have any information that he acquired those guns illegally, but it's one of those questions that we're going to be looking for answers to in the coming days.
We spoke a few minutes ago with somebody who was on the scene there last night, a photographer named Dennis Guerrero. I want to just listen to a little bit of what he told us.
I looked behind me and I told the gentleman and his wife, I go, was that a gunshot? And he goes, I think it was. And the lady next to him said, oh, no, it's fireworks for the show. And then that's when the automatic fire started. And that doesn't sound like any fireworks on the planet.
Casey Morell, we're hearing a lot of people who thought that it was fireworks at first. And in fact, even Dennis told us that once they discovered it was gunshots coming at them, they couldn't tell from where. They thought that the shooter was in the crowd, not up in the building above them.
Right. Well, if you consider, you know, just the layout of the area there, where the festival ground was in relation to where Mandalay Bay is, you know, you're kind of penned in when you're at the festival grounds. There aren't that many places to enter and exit because you're surrounded on a couple of sides by roadways, and to the back is McCarran International Airport. I also think that probably if you hear gunfire, your first instinct isn't to look up and to think that it might be coming from above you. So when people started hearing it and realized that it was gunfire, I think your first instinct is to duck and look around you, not to necessarily look up at a building like
that. Well, Casey, but what happens now? I mean, this has been something that's been a security analyst's nightmare since the Ariana Grande concert, when people realized you could have screening to go into the venue, which they had at this concert last night and they had at her concert. But then that will push the attacker on the perimeter. And that's what we have here, somebody shooting from the perimeter. It's early days, but is anyone talking about screening in hotels? Or, I mean, they do that during the Boston Marathon, for instance. Now, you can't get into certain buildings along the route unless you have identification that you work there. But how do you do that with a hotel?
That's a great question, Robin. And when you consider, too, that, you know, how think of a Las Vegas hotel. You know, it has not only the hotel, but it has shops, it has restaurants, it has nightlife, it has gaming. You could be there for any one of those reasons. You could be there just to marvel at the interior, the architecture inside. So if you start trying to say, well, only people with legitimate reasons can be here, I don't know how you'd go about defining that. But there's definitely been talk of you know, heightening security at the different entrances to casinos on the Strip. I think that we're probably going to see an increased police presence no matter what in the coming days. But whether we get to the point where metal detectors are placed at every, you know, entrance and exit, I don't know if we're there.
Well, and it's legal to carry a machine gun in Nevada. It's an open carry state, so you could have walked in with them. But anyway.
That's Casey Morell of station KNPR in Las Vegas. And we've also been speaking with NPR correspondent Tom Jelton, following the latest from Las Vegas. 58 dead, more than 500 injured. We will keep following this. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
You bet.
This is special coverage from NPR News.